everyone, and welcome to Padawan Unlimited. I am Gil, and this week I'm joined by both hosts. Rob. He's back. He's tan.
I'm back.
And he's flexing those muscles. What's up, Corey? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well, guys. Thanks. It was good to listen to the podcast as a listener. It was cool to hear some things, and I'm excited to be back and to share some of my thoughts on the master set and what that means to me.
I know, right? Sorry, I thought about it as we were like talking about the last week, like, oh man, we should have really had this conversation with Corey.
And no, that's good. That's good. And I like that you guys talked about the balance and everything with balancing hobbies and lifestyle and how that all works together. It's cool. It's something different. You know, you get all these podcasts and they talk about the same things. It's nice to hear some fresh perspectives and different, you know, takes on things.
You know what? Someone left an amazing comment about their like story in that video. I actually almost cried a little bit, like, seriously, because like it's really cool to connect with, to be able to talk about something and then people kind of actually share their perspective, and it's like really well written, you know, it's really heartfelt, and you can just feel that emotion, that journey, like, kind of remnate through the words. Especially in like a YouTube comment, like, that doesn't really ever happen. People are usually like kind of sometimes well not usually sometimes they're snarky, sometimes they're just like, oh, great content, you know, it's like very like one-liners. Mm-hmm. not that I'm complaining about that. I really appreciate whatever comments, which, by the way, like and subscribe if you have not already.
Gotta get them plugs in.
But no, it was really cool. I actually showed my wife the comment. I was like, this is why we do it. This is why I do the podcast. Yeah, it's not for the money.
It was a great comment. And it was great to, like I said, it's great to see that what we talk about and what we're discussing here has an impact on other people and their thought process and how they approach the game as well. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah. Which also, a couple other shout outs. So A Bloody Viking Gaming, one of our most popular like posters of comments, gave the feedback on potential bits in the future, which also reflects some other comments that I've received, just DMs on like Instagram and stuff. So I think it was at Anthony Ta or something. I think we'll try to sporadically put in some like more beginner tips, right, on like what to focus on, let's say in like gameplay or even collection or something like that. Maybe we even might do like a quick like round, like blurb right in the beginning, like every like almost like a mini segment of like, this is like, you know, cool tip number one, or like noob tip two.
That'll be cool.
You know, and maybe each week we'll rotate. I have to think about it a little bit more. I know I'm just kind of springing it on you guys, but we've been getting a lot of that feedback just outside, like, of like what things we could potentially add to the channel, in terms of like the podcast content, and they're all good ideas. So I would love to, you know,
it'd be great to implement as much as we can, but obviously we don't want to overload it, but,
yeah,
slowly putting new things in here and different segments would be cool.
Yeah. And then a shout out to, Jeff's 244 for his comment. It was really cool. And then also a shout out to Virtua Terrier. I actually don't Virtua Tellier.
You have to tell us if it's correct or not. I'm not trying.
I honestly don't know how to pronounce it. I feel like I just butchered the crap out of that comment. So yeah. I apologize if I pronounced it wrong. But Virtua Tellier gave a what did they say? They talked about their definition of what a tempo deck is. So tempo is like a mid range. Well, it's a good definition because we talked about it last week with Rob, and because I, you know, we all just, as we share information, we want to give it accurately, and we have our own opinions, but other people might have their own different opinions. And with Star Wars Unlimited, I feel like archetypes still aren't really defined; they're still loosely defined, right? But yeah, like, it's just out there. So what he said was, tempo is a mid-range-esque archetype when over time through advantage, you know, turn blinking, like in Django, resource cheating in Han, to control the game's pace, making aggro decks attack your units over attacking your base and vice versa, having control try to race you before they lose, like stuff like that. So that was their definition. I thought it was interesting. So again, shout out to Virtua Tellier, 3235, and also to Jeff's 2444, who actually made a comment about, we talked about DJ and like the DJ band, if what was worth it. They talked about like their, what they would say their errata would be, and I thought it was really good too. They said if for DJ, if they just changed it so that you can't destroy resources you don't own, there would still be the possibility to smuggle that card using tech, which effectively destroys it. It's a little complicated kind of text, but I thought it was pretty cool. Like, you know, there's different ways to approach it. And I, you know, just want to give a shout out to these folks who, I love the comments. I'm sure you guys do too. So just wanted to give it quick blurb on them. Anyway, I've talked probably for the last couple of minutes just by myself, so no one wants to hear my voice for eternity. So Corey, we're gonna go into the collector section. Sure. Want to answer that question real quickly about like what you think a master set is?
Yeah, I'll touch on that real briefly because I know you guys discussed it last week, but I'm on the side that a master set is one of every card in the base of set of that set. So
okay,
if you're a numbered card, you have to have all of those cards in that set. So I would not include the OP packs. I would just include the ones that you would be purchasing through booster packs and the booster boxes and things like that. That's what I would say. As long as you have one of every one of those, you've got the master set. Now,
showcases, I was gonna say
like I would say if you want that grand master set now, that would be showcases, OP packs, and judge cards, and all those promos for showdowns or whatever they are. That's where I would include those. But if you're talking about master set, that's different, because then I do think there are levels. Master set's just the booster pack cards, where Grandmaster would be everything else included.
Okay, fair enough. I wonder if there's going to be consensus like in the future. Like, is there going to be like a purist out there? It's like, no, that's not a master set. A master set is by definition like everything that you have.
Everything.
Every card.
It's like, it's a one of one. Are you going to have if there's a one of one card, are you going to be, you don't have a master set now because you don't have the one of one?
Yeah. Well, I think it changes definitely with like the Carbonite edition boxes.
Well, now,
like,
yeah, now it happens when you have serialized. Those are technically their only version of that card.
Yeah, yep. If I was a billionaire, maybe I'd buy everyone out. But which
tell
also
us what you think in the comments. There you go. See,
yeah, tell us what you think in the comments.
We can just ask everybody.
Which, by the way, so I started doing analysis. I haven't dropped. I updated analysis for serialized card costs or like purchase prices, buy prices or whatever. And I haven't dropped the video. I haven't dropped the video yet, mostly because I've just been really busy with like life. Sure. But the average sell price of serialized card is somewhere floating around $400 right now.
Wow.
I analyzed about 100 price points, so obviously it's not like thousands, but like where we, but I, you know, have limited scope in terms of like I could only see eBay what's been sold that allows me to see it, and then right. Prices for like a TCG player, for example, those don't tell me the actual serial number unless someone put a picture in it, so I just see like the sell price.
They don't have it in the text either. That's
no, it's, I mean, really, I mean, maybe I'm misreading
you
it.
You should have them in, I mean, if, well, if you know what you're doing, I would say like you should be saying this is serialized card number 202 or something, because like otherwise
I don't know,
I,
man.
Buying?
Yeah,
but, I it's cool though. It's they're going up. That's nice to
yeah hear. Yeah, which I kind of expected, you know. Not all of them are like that. Like a Silver Angel is going to go for like $100 something, but then you have other ones that are literally going for like 500, and they're not even like
Devastators good, or
they're not even good numbers. Yeah, like Falcons, like and they're not even
Falcon
good numbers.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they're not even good numbers. They're not like 1 to 10 or like 69.
Right, just like random number 156 or something.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. It's interesting. And then some of them are just suddenly really high, like like Executors and Devastators.
Yeah, the legendaries, cards, I feel like, are probably going to be.
And because they're also really pretty. Anyway, so just a real brief thing. I'm going to probably drop that video. I'll try to do it next week. Maybe I'll get a couple other numbers. But anything else about collections?
Yeah, well, the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit and mention with collection-wise is not everyone is going for that master set. Not everyone has the ability to, you know, get complete sets of cards, right? We kind of have take that for granted that, oh, we have full sets of Vaders and Lukes and like these really expensive cards. Not everybody has the ability to go out and buy a set of Vaders or Lukes or whatever the highest card prices are, right? And so what would be good replacements or like proxies in so to speak, in those senses where it's like, I really like this deck. I don't have three Lukes that I can throw in this deck. Like, what is a good replacement for those? And that's what I was thinking we might want to discuss in the future, is to give some examples of, if you don't have the ability to go out and get every single card in this, you know, net deck, this one thing, like, how can we help players proxy, not like saying proxy, but like replacement cards for some of these more expensive cards.
You know what? Let's blend that into the next topic, and we'll talk about some, like, again, we talked about like tips for noobs and new players and stuff. Yeah. So before we go into meta, like, let's blend this topic, right?
Oh.
So Rob,
doing it live.
when you think about, you might not have a full playset of a specific card. Let's use Luke's example. Let's use Luke as a specific example. It's a 7-drop legendary. In set one, it's not very easy to get. It's still probably around $20-$30 to get one.
It's like 35 right now.
35, right? And it's only going to go higher next set, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, probably.
With the four stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
How would you, as a player, approach building a deck with blue heroism, knowing you don't have seven Lukes, the seven drop Lukes?
Yeah. Right? So I think it's a couple things. Number one, like, if you're playing casually, it is, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise, it is perfectly okay to proxy. So a lot of times, if there's like a specific card that I, if there's one, or if there's one card like in my deck that I don't have the copies of, and I'm just playing, you know, with my, you know, with our locals. Honestly, what I do is I take the card. I take any card. And I just flip it over and I put it in a sleeve, and then I just say, hey, before we're starting, you know, it's casual play. By the way, this is X card. You know, so when this comes up, that's what this is. And it's a way to test it. I think the other big thing that I would say is, you know, don't go out of your way to like purchase all these cards if you're not sure you're going to like the deck. So one of the best ways to kind of at least test it is build it on Swooty B, and then test it on Karabast or any of the other online resources to get a feel for it. Because like you said, like, not everybody has those full play sets. And you know, you may not want to commit, you know, whatever that is, $105 to get three Lukes. If you didn't already have them. So, yeah. You know, those are the two things that I tend to think of. And like, you know, I've also seen people get,
right. You can always print the card. And
just right. I've seen people get like I've done it before. I did it the set two. Like, you can go on Etsy and get like relatively high quality proxies and put them in, mm-hmm. you know, put them in, and they're, you know, in a, sorry, excuse me. They're relatively inexpensive. Allergy season.
How about you, Corey? What would you do when you're thinking about, like, if you don't have the cards you need, how would you try to go around?
Rob, your point, if we're testing, absolutely, you want to test with the deck that you want to play with to see if it is worth buying, you know, spending $100 on cards, right? $100 for three cards, that's like three pieces of paper. It's like, that sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. And so it's absolutely, like you said, casual play, it's fine. Obviously, if you're going to be competitive and if you're going to store showdowns, planetary qualifiers, sectors, regionals, you are not allowed to do that. You do need cards. If we're talking about Lukes specifically, like, just as an example, if you want to build a deck and you don't have those Lukes, what cards could we proxy in there? And I keep saying proxy, but what cards can we replace Lukes with is a question that we have to think about. What you're doing with that deck. What is Luke doing, right? What does Luke do when he comes out? Luke is removal. It's essentially, right? So
he's also recovery.
Exactly. And he's doing multiple things in one card. That's why he's so good, because he's a body. He's removing something, most likely, you know, for the most part. And then when he does get to attack, he's healing. So that's three things. You can't really replace one card with like that can do all of that. So you may need to take two different cards and say, all right, well, now I have this card that's going to help with that restore, and then I'll have this card that's going to help with the removal. And those cards may add up to like a 7 cost situation, where it's like, on my turn 6, I can do these two cards instead of Luke. so to speak. And so that's where you have to kind of like see how you can get that same, you know, productivity, so to speak, in that turn without having those cards.
So I think that's a great idea. And it kind of goes into the meta part of it all. So if you're trying to still be competitive and you don't have the card, how can you still reap the benefits of that card while only changing your ratios very slightly and or adding new cards, right? And so like the first thing I always do is if I don't have the card, I look at the curve being like 7 resource turn, which you talked about, and you talked about adding stuff together. I look for a straight replacement first. So like Luminar and Dooley, would she be sufficient enough at the 7 cost to do what we need to do? She has a coordinate ability. She's not as powerful, but she still fits the 7 like heroism.
That turn, yeah. It's turn. a one card, right?
You don't
want to tempo. We don't want to lose tempo.
She's still force, which has synergies with other things you're probably trying to do with Luke anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to test out with that first before I go into changing the ratios of anything. So like if I was going to go into removal package, right, and I didn't have 3 Lukes, is it okay that I add 3 new events instead of having 3 big body units to go late game? Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
Or like if that's comboed with something else, like is it okay to go above curve? Like, does that mean I should I just add redemptions as space? You give me Space Sentinel, give me some heal, big body. Is it okay to go up in the meta? Or should I go down? Should I just throw 3 Obi-Wans in there? You know, like these are the things I'm thinking about. And it's all based on what am I trying to do, which is what you talked about, Corey. Like, what are you trying to achieve with it? Rob, did you have something you wanted to add?
It's the only thing I want to kind of caution against here is like we're using Luke as the example, and Luke is a very specific card that's a very powerful card, and it's really hard to replicate him. So like, you know, when you say like, okay, you can put in Luminar, okay, well, you get a body and you get some restore, right? I think, right, she, it's like coordinate restore with her. I don't even remember off the top of my head, but you know, but you're not getting quite all the same effect. So it's like you can use her as a drop in that place, but it's not going to have the same impact. And to your point, Gil, like part of the other thing about Luke, right? Okay, he's a 7 drop. So that means in not just like, for example, blue-red heroism, but blue-green heroism, you can pull him off of U-Wing, right? So like there's certain cards that like will synergize. And again, it goes back to what you're saying, Gil, where you're trying to, you know, it's what are you trying to do with your deck? Yeah, again, I'm a big believer in you know, test it the way that you want it to be, and then if you find that it works, then decide whether or not you're going to make the investment. Or, you know, because like again, if you're never going to play in an organized event, like an official event, there's no reason to go out. Maybe Fantasy Flight's going to come in and like kidnap me, but there's no reason to like go out and buy the card. If you're only ever going to play in casual events, if you're only playing casual, just proxy it. Like seriously, you know, play the deck you want the way you want it to be played. And then, you know, and then again, if you're going to something official, then decide whether it's worth it at that point in time.
Yeah, good points. And so we've been talking about how to build the deck a little bit. Hopefully that was helpful. Already kind of trying to incorporate some of the feedback we received. I thought it was a good transition. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you guys have questions about certain specific cards, feel free to shout them out and send them our way, and we can take a look and give some ideas.
As you already hear, I read every comment, like, and I try to respond to every single one. So you're going to be heard. You are important to us in some form or fashion. So don't be shy. Or send me an email, as always, like to gil@padawanunlimited.com. That domain still exists for email anyway. And we'll talk about it. Hey, and the offer still stands that if you want to do a deck review, we could probably do an episode for that. If anyone wants to submit their deck, send a link to us and we will review it. We could probably spend like good 15 minutes at least debating what cards would probably go into what deck, right? Because we all play differently. We all have very different approaches to this game. So, like, you're going to get the full gambit of perspective. I'm a dirty aggro player. I guess. Even though I played Obi-Wan last set, like, almost exclusively. it was aggressive in negotiations, Obi-Wan, even though that's not his, like, quote. That's Anakin's quote.
Aggressive anyway. Negotiations? No, that's Padme, boy.
Is that Padme? Wow, it's Padme. Wow, I totally messed up. I'm tired.
Well, it's one of those three.
It's one of those.
They all are tied together in some fashion. You
know, it's definitely Padme.
The fate of the galaxy is all three. I thought it was Anakin. You know what? It's the Mandela effect. I thought I heard this one thing and I didn't. Okay. Anyway, so we kind of talked about the meta. Let's go into proper meta and that road to Richmond, right?
Road to Richmond.
What are we expecting this weekend? We'll start with you, Rob.
You want me to jump in?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Well, for starters, I got accused of being a filthy casual because I'm actually not making it to Richmond this weekend. V, you've been heard.
I am also not going to be making it, unfortunately.
But yeah, I've just been too burnt out from work. But I do think it's gonna be the Wild West. I gotta be honest. I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, we're gonna see some of the old staples return, so to speak. So I think we're gonna see Sabine. I think we're gonna see and Sabine got some new tools. So like, there's definitely some legs to her deck. Still, I mean, she's been a powerhouse since set one, and she will continue to be a powerhouse. I think Quinlan's still gonna be there. Quinlan Tarkentown is gonna be. I don't know if it's the strongest deck, but it's certainly
not
pretty
even close.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's definitely going to be one of those.
I don't know. Not even close.
Finish your thought, and then I'll.
All right. But I think the one big one that hasn't really hit the radar is I mean, sort of has, but I think is going to explode at Richmond. It's going to be Han Won Green. That deck, and I've built it and I've played it. It's a problem.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people on around playing that deck, like online and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, but before we go into that, how about you? We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
How about you, Corey? Any predictions? Where do you think we're going to be at?
I'm going to go there's definitely obvious ones that we talked about and we'll mention probably, but the one that I think might be a surprise, and I'm going to I think you'd be very happy, Gil. Like, I think Rex is going to be
Unity of Purpose.
Yeah, I think Rex is going to be a surprise deck that might show up in the top, you know. Not necessarily top eight, but it could be like top
day two.
I think it's a fun deck. The problem is, honestly, Corey, it gets run through by Han Won Green.
No,
it just
sure. I've seen it pull some games. Don't sleep on it.
It can. But
I said, I don't think it's gonna win. It's gonna win, but I think people are sleeping on that a little bit more than you'd expect. And like my buddy, asked me about it. I was like, I don't know anything about this deck. Let's take a look. And then I'm like, oh wow, this looks fun. Like, for one, right now for me, like, priority number one is fun, like a fun deck to play. That's what I want, because now we have the opportunity to do stupid things like Obi-Wan or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Whoa, don't offend my boy Obi.
I'm saying you wanted to build a Rex deck since we've seen him as a leader.
Yeah,
so
Rex Green. I have.
This could be it's his time. You know.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what the combo is, basically, you run Rex mono green, so you're running Rex with droid manufacturing.
Yeah.
Which is a 24 health base that when you flip your leader, you get two droid tokens. So on five, when you flip Rex, you get Rex. He creates a clone token, and you get two droid tokens. Unity of Purpose is a double green card that you play on six that says you get plus one. Every unit that you control gets plus one for every differently named unit that you control. So right off the bat, you're getting plus three as long as you can keep all three, like one of those droids, one of those clones and Rex alive. And that's assuming you don't have anything else. And again, you get all of that just by flipping Rex. So you also have whatever you decide to play on turn five in addition to whatever you get from flipping wrecks. So you have the potential to get up to +4, +4, +5, +5 on all of your units, and that alone is very, very. It'll win you the game.
It's a swarm deck as well, so like it's how do you get rid of all of that, all of it at one turn.
And you're playing like Maz Kanata and a clone troop or clone deserters and like a bunch of like really cheap units, because the idea is you just want to throw as many things out as you can, so that by the time you get to turn six and hopefully you've got unity of purpose in hand at that point, you just run through whatever's there.
Yeah. There are some like hard counters to it because, first of all, it's highly dependent on a very specific combo. So if you can't pull off the combo,
that has a specific card,
you're pretty much going to lose that, especially since it's a 24 health deck. So it's even lower. And
Sabine
than
does very well against it.
No, dude, really? I think
it's a race. Just my first thought would have been Sabine would be very good again.
If you are playing against Sabine, Rex should win most of the time. Because
like Sabine's trying to win before Unity Purpose comes out.
Yeah, exactly. But even then, like if you're at six, they're at six, you're at five, right? So the most you can throw is ECL out Poe, like as a big unit, right? You potentially might have only two units on the board on top of that. You might have done 20 something, maybe 15 points of damage at that point. And then
the only guy gets 24.
And then all of the units on the board turn on.
They
all do seven like damage a hit. And that's like three or four. That's 21 points of damage like minimum at that turn. And so like if you're ECL, they've already probably hit your base at least once or twice, like you're done at five resources. Mm-hmm. I've played against it. I've seen it live. Like if a Rex deck is playing it right, they should beat Sabine a lot. Again, very combo-y dependent.
No, I'm excited then.
It's like you gotta hit Unity of Purpose. If you don't hit Unity of Purpose, you aren't making it. Like, it really is heavily reliant upon you hitting Unity of Purpose on six. And there are just so many, particularly right now in the meta, like, yellow cards that will just hand destroy. So, like, on turn five, you just play Spark of Rebellion if you're a heroic. You know, on turn five, if you're a villainous yellow deck, you just play Bazine. And, you know, if they've got it, you kill it.
But I don't want to get too deep into a Rex deck tech. But yeah, suffice to say, that's a great... The fact that you said that, Corey, and that we had very visceral opinions on where it can go means that it's probably going to make a showing. It'll make a splash, I think.
Oh, probably will.
I agree with you. It'll make a splash in Richmond if the right person's piloting it and, you know, they can, like, navigate the games. But I've seen it live. I think I agree with some type of combination of Han color is going to do really well. I don't think you're going to break 25% of the meta in that, like Django. Yeah. You might hit maybe 10%. Maybe 15.
I think Han's around 15. Like Han 1 would be around 15 because he's got yellow and green.
Yeah. Yep. You're going to see Quinlan probably hit around 9%. All colors of Quinlan, mostly Quinlan Tarkintown. And the thing with Quinlan Tarkintown is that, don't get me wrong, it is a good deck.
You didn't like it.
It's like no. It's not that I don't like it. I liked it in Milan. I just didn't have enough reps, and that's my fault. Like I just didn't play it a lot, right? Which is like completely. That's not the deck's fault. That's me. So that equaled misplays that should not have happened. But it is a very strong deck. It's just one of those things. It's kind of having when you're doing a JRPG, and you're building like your stat block. It's like, and like as a level one character, and you're trying to get, you want like all tens because that's perfect. It's like that it's like that deck that's like all eights, you know, it's or sevens. It's good.
Mean, it's still pretty good
against a wide range. Don't get me wrong, it's really good. But more often than not, you're probably gonna want to like specialize in something like max attack, max speed, max defense, max attack. You know, like in order to get to that win, right? That championship. And that's what I mean by that deck. That's why I don't think it's gonna I think it'll make a showing. I don't. It might. It'll probably hit top eight, but like I don't think it's gonna take it all. I'm excited to see all of the Vaders and Lukes that are gonna show up, especially since last time a Luke like came out of nowhere to get into the top like top eight or something. A Luke Datavault. Like there's gonna be
Luke Datavault is gonna be there.
There's gonna be a bajillion of those guys, and like. I think Luke's better than the Vader at this point, in my opinion.
But.
The Vader is not as good as like just as Anakin, like being like a Colossus, right? So it's just
Vader Blues, I think, suffers from not to your point, not being as good as Anakin, and then like Palp Blue just does it better.
Vader Green is fun, but I think Boba Four Green is better actually.
Yeah. So. I haven't seen a lot of Boba 4 Green. That's interesting.
That's the deck I've been playing the most testing, actually. Data Vault, 60 cards.
Jeez. Okay. All right.
I'm having a lot of fun with that deck.
Yeah. I think the other one to watch out for, actually, is going to be Gar Saxon Yellow.
Why?
It's fast, man. And you're just consistently trading up because you play almost nothing but shielded units. There are very few cards that are not shielded units in that, and so you're just you're constantly plus value. You play a Krennic on turn one, and you've got a 3-2 on the board. And then if you got the really good hand, you've got a Krennic, and then you also have a Greedo that you just play for free. So now you've got a 3-1 and a 3-2 shielded on turn one. Just as an example, you know, like that's just like okay. You know
that's fair.
That's just like one thing. So it's fast. It trades well. If you need to go that route, but a lot of times your opponents just have to like throw stuff into it. So it does have a hard time with single target removals. So like Pelt Blues and any kind of harder control is gonna counter it. But I don't think that they're gonna be as popular. So and it plays well into a lot of the other like mid range aggro.
Okay, I think that's fair. I've seen it beat Han Greens and stuff. So
it has a good matchup into Han Green, has a good matchup into Quinlan, because like Quinlan pings off the shields, but they're not doing damage to it. So like you're losing the advantage of the extra damage, but you still have a unit on the board. So there's a lot of really strong things about that.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know if I have some other changes that they're doing. They're changing the rounds. Apparently there was not enough rounds, and what really was really unfortunate about Denver. The Denver sector qualifiers was that if you made it to day two, even if you won out in day two, there was a chance you wouldn't make the top cut of top eight, which is like must be exceedingly frustrating for people who like play that entire time and win the entire time and still don't make top cut. That's, you know, I think they're making some changes there. And also in Richmond, they've officially started to change the pricing for a lot of the prizings. And stuff,
yep.
And they added if you haven't heard, they also added the bounties, the bounty system. So if you get to play against an FFG employee, they have like mats and stuff to give you
prizes,
to beat them,
yeah.
Prizes. So that's pretty cool. It seems like they've made a lot of changes since that first Milan sector qualifier. So I'm really excited to see what changes. I'm actually going to be driving down on Friday, and to go to Richmond, and so if you're down there, check me out. If I'm not in my Padawan Limited shirt, like the purple one, because I'm going with my team, McClunky. Shout out to McClunky Gaming. I will be wearing my McClunky shirt, which is black, and it says Padawan like ULTD on the back. So I will be, but I'll be around. Say hi.
Yeah, find Gil. It's like a game. Where's Waldo? Find
Gil. We're gonna try to find like what did we talk about? We're gonna try to do stickers or like our own like cards
or something.
Yeah, we
got something to hand out to people when we see them for sure.
Yeah, in Vegas. Galactics.
Yeah, and Galactics. Okay. And before I let you guys go, any final thoughts on like that road to Richmond?
I have one question for you guys. Sure. Who's what leader is winning Richmond? Like, gotta pick one. Pick one leader. Let's see if we can get
Do you need a specific color combination or just doesn't matter?
No, just pick the leader. Because if you can say Han 1, we'll give you green and yellow. Oh, dead air. Come on. We got
that's tough.
Yeah.
I'll go with Rob first.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think Hanwon Green is gonna surprise a lot of people. I think it's Hanwon Green. Yeah,
it's gonna be.
Ooh, it's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be something like people like Noah's kind of good, but they kind of slept on. It's gonna be something like Kira, Data Vault. You know what I mean? Like,
I like that. Yeah.
You know, Kira, it's not gonna be Kira ECL. Cool. It's gonna be something like not dumb like that, but just like it's gonna be a deck that people like know was good, and like they just now that Django's not around, they can actually still be now it can be competitive again, and it's gonna be some type of combo like that, like. I wouldn't be surprised if a Luke Green wins it. I don't think it will, but like I wouldn't be surprised. But I really think it's gonna be something like a green blue villainy going back to basics. Like it was good in set one, it was good in set two, it was good in set three. Now it's gonna be good in set four. Decent. Like I think that's what's gonna happen. It's gonna be like a wild deck, and then it's gonna change the meta. Like oh my god, everyone, you know. Right, at least for Americas. If it's Bossk Blue again in Europe, then it's Bossk Blue again in Europe. You know, but
yeah, no,
how about you?
For me, I'm gonna say, I think if I'm just gonna throw a name out there, I don't want to like lock it in, but like don't I you asked boy. You guys, so I have like, to like lock it in. And I'm not gonna pick a leader that has multiple like options, I think, because Anakin Blue is you're not playing Anakin in any other colors, and I think Anakin,
oh,
Blue
dude.
Is,
and you know what? I forgot about that. Yeah, Anakin Blue is so good. Like it is such a good deck. It doesn't lose. It loses
35 points of. Oh my gosh, it's rough.
It trades up every time. Like so, you hurting him only gets Anakin stronger.
Well, let's see if we could if we get one of these.
Okay, like you know what? Let's do this. Top eight, top eight discussion. You think right. Anakin Blue's gonna at least make the top eight, right?
Yes,
I think Kira Green is going to make a top eight. Rob, you think Han Green is going to make a top eight? So we have five left.
Okay.
What do we think is going to fill the top? The rest of the like last thing. What do you think is going to fill the rest of the five? You think we'll have
Sabine's
doubles?
Sabine's
going to
be there.
Sabine's going to be in there.
So that's four. Okay, a Sabine. It doesn't matter. Yellow. A Sabine.
Yeah,
Palp yellow.
A palp okay. One.
Yep. This Bossk.
Yeah. Palp team one.
This Bossk.
I think we might see a sneaky Piet red or Piet green, maybe.
I don't think Piet's making it.
You don't think he's making it?
No, I think I think that the Hans and Sabines are going to shut him down, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. I mean, do you want to put that as an official guess? Let's lock this in. Quinlan?
Oh, Quinlan. Yeah, Quinlan will be there for sure.
Yeah, okay. So we need, like, two more or something.
Boba 4 of some sort.
Boba 4?
No.
Yeah.
Really? No. Hold on. I don't.
You don't think so?
I love the Boba 4 decks, but I don't think they're good enough.
I'm not a good player, and I still beat them all the time. Like,
okay. I think we like double up a few. I don't think we're gonna get eight separate leaders. There's no way.
You don't think a Luke? I think a Luke's gonna make it as a leader, and maybe we double up on one more.
Luke could make it.
I mean, yeah. I think you're gonna see doubles of Sabine and Quinlan at the very least.
I don't think
one
we'll
of
see,
those two.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see doubles of Sabine. I think there's gonna be the one Sabine that just reigns supreme, but like maybe doubles of the Hans.
Han yellow.
I could see it. Yeah, I could see another Han.
You know, like a Han yellow, Han green, or two Han greens, or a you know, like it's just
or two Han yellows. Yeah.
Or it could be crazy, and it's like a Han red. That's just like one aggro. You know what I mean? With hand destruction and profundity in it. You know, like, who knows?
Oh, man, that'd be
can
funny.
Can you believe that? Han's still so strong. It was not the DJ. It was just Han.
Yeah, well, that's my other thought. It's like if Han, just as an aside, if, like, Han comes in and just dominates Richmond, like, he's already on the watch list.
No, I don't think
they're going to react that quick, but by the end of this set, if he's just dominating, like, he dominates PQs, he dominates this, like, be ready for a Han 1 ban.
My guess is that we get six like different leaders.
Okay. And then some two double ups. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to see if our predictions are correct next week. Let's lock them in, boys. I feel like we should make a bet or something. Like maybe in the future, we should start betting.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like, maybe not with money, but I mean, like, all right, I have to give you a showcase or something.
Whoa, not with money. No, you're not talking
Corey, showcases. Corey give him the showcases because he's got all of them.
Or like packs. Like, you got to buy me a pack. You know,
packs would be fun.
You know, we'll see what happens. Anyway, guys, thanks for discussion. As always, it is late on a Wednesday, April 23rd, 10:52 p.m. Eastern time. So it is like late.
Almost tomorrow.
Almost tomorrow. I still got to edit this thing. But thank you guys. Thank you all who are listening. Appreciate you as always. And until next time, may the force be with you.
Cool.